Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida, TGIF. We made it through yet another week. Barely. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris has another three-day weekend, so Rick Church on the other side of the glass, ladies and gentlemen, with a fresh new haircut, I might add, styling looking and profiling.
Happy and handsome. Chris has got some sort of umbrella drink going in the way of Captiva, right?
Perhaps he does. You, Pete Shepherd, have some new headphones. Are we dialed in? Are we good?
Yeah, the phones are good. The cord,
it got like a six-inch cord on it. You can't lift your head above the console.
It came with a couple of... you know, like for an iPhone jack, which I don't need this for an iPhone jack. It came with a regular. I guess they're meant for. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about it. I need another. I need a longer cord, but.
You need
anyway,
a longer cord.
The phones and the cans work great.
All right. We need a drink. Some bad news today. Big states like Florida and Texas, almost 9,000 new cases of COVID-19. I mean, remember. We were going backward around 35, 4, then we hit 4,000, then it was 5. And all of a sudden, in the last 2 days, we've had 20,000 positive tests. The Florida Department of Business and Professional something or other, I don't know what they're called. They're suspending on-premises consumption of alcohol at bars. So if you're just a bar or a brewery, that's going to suck.
But for most of the restaurants, sports bars, everything else, they all serve food, 50% food. So you just may not be able to sit. You won't be able to sit at the bar again. What they'll do is they'll shove tables up to the bar like they did a couple like last month. But you'll still be able to go to most places. It sucks for microbreweries and some other places. I feel horrible about it. But most of the restaurants that serve alcohol serve food. So the majority of them are going to be okay.
You can... And you can still get the carry out too, because Ron DeSantis never got rid of that. You know, pick up on your yeah. If you're doing pick out, you can pick up. You can still get your booze there. State of Texas, same situations. 6,000 positive tests. They're rolling back restaurant capacity back to 50%. Obviously,
which is still that's what it is here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Again, but full steam ahead forward. Mm-hmm. Not so much. The stock market's going backwards. Everybody's all concerned about it. But anyway, that's the news that leads the day. I have a question for you. I know you're a huge fan of Bomani Jones. Huge fan. can you feel my – well, you can't. I have tongue firmly inserted in my cheek when I say that. What happened?
I don't know. I was looking on Will Cain's site, and it said something – I don't know, had an attachment to Bomani or something like that. I clicked on – Bomani, it says, can't view his tweets. He blocked you. I don't say anything nasty to anybody, whether I like them or not. I may say an opinion. I may disagree once in a while. I usually don't even do that, especially with other media people. Very, very rarely.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't remember ever tweeting at him about anything because it's not worth my time.
I know we've look, 2 days ago he went on Will Cain. By the way, Will Cain's last show is today before he goes over to Fox News or something. Now, we don't carry Will Cain's show because that's our spot.
A.K.A. the Cowboy Nation show.
Yeah. Well, it is. He's a good cowboy fan.
Yeah.
So Bomani went on there a couple days ago, and we're talking about racial issues, and Bomani dominated the show. And Will Cain, he was like, this is my show. Mm. So anyway, we did talk about that the other day, but I don't think anything was out of line. But he just flat out blocked you.
I don't know. I really don't care.
Should
I feel honored? I don't know.
No. Speaking of the lineup on ESPN, Swishabake says 99.3 seriously needs the Chris show from 1 to 2 as a warm-up. The last hour has been dreadful. Well, I will tell you this. ESPN is about to change its lineup from the top on down. We will remain here locally, but I think you may get your wish sooner than later. 1993 is texting in the great debate with Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Does that mean there's no Hannah Montana at 5 o'clock? It usually gets bumped to 5:30 when Rick is here. You'll have to adjust. This is a national crisis. These are times of concern. Things will change a little, I think. I don't know. It's up to Rick. He's got 3 hours to figure out what he wants to do there.
Craig, you know what I'm going to do.
I do know what you're going to do. I'm trying to build some suspense. I know you. Wait, your haircut really looks good.
Thank you.
Got a good haircut.
Thank you.
After four months?
At least. Probably closer to six.
Yeah.
Leighton Perrin says the bomb running Will King in it the last time we were on the show. Yeah, I know. I know. We all heard it. We didn't want to get into it because like Craig said, but we actually brought that up before the show yesterday.
Yep.
And no. Right. That's. No.
I'll share a nice story from Maryland Mike as he was getting ready for our show at 2 o'clock. He was in a car. He witnessed a scene that brought tears to his eyes at a red light. Said there was an old man in a wheelchair trying to cross 41 today. It's hot. He's old. He's slow. Hard time moving. And then he sees a young Hispanic man get out and got out of his car, pushed the wheelchair across the busy 41 highway, Tamiami Trail. Helped him get over to the other side, then ran back to his car, got in, drove off as the light turned green, brought tears to his eyes. See, there's hope. Mankind can help mankind.
Absolutely. I would have done the same thing. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. It just breaks your heart when you see stuff like that.
Yes. Beer League Hockey, happy birthday. He just
happy birthday.
Got a 53rd birthday tomorrow. How about that? All right. So we're all caught up with those details.
And then I have a real serious question here.
Okay.
I've been actually thought about this a couple of days ago, and I saw a tweet about it today.
Yes.
So it's going to seem like I'm stealing the idea because I kind of retweeted the story, but I actually thought about this, and I want to find out about it, and I want your reaction about it. It's a very, very serious question
today.
Okay.
All right.
Regarding the Oreo cookie.
Yes.
Are you a twister or are you a breaker? And who invented the Oreo cookie?
First of all, I believe it's produced in China.
Is it really?
They have a different recipe that doesn't have nearly the amount of sugar. They don't like it as sweet over there. Then they load it up with sugar and poison.
It's
and send
all
it over here.
I mean, it's all chemicals. The whole cookie.
Yeah.
Delicious cookie, by the way. But
I guess you would call me a twister. I do take the lid off. One side off. I don't twist it. I lift it carefully. But we consider it a twister because I don't break it.
Well, yeah, you like to make sure that the cream is on one side. You don't like to get. You have to be an even twist. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you go to twist and it might break a little bit.
I'm more skilled than others in this department, so I can lift it without twisting it, without breaking it.
And I don't dunk either. I'm not a cookie dunker.
No, because I don't like the crumbs back in my milk afterwards.
Me too. And you know, I know people, especially with chocolate chip cookies and Oreos, I like to dunk in milk. I have never been a dunker.
So I lift off the one lid. I scrape the cream filling off my bottom teeth, and then I'll eat the two plain cookies that are left over, and then I'll move on to the next one, because you can't just have just one.
Did you ever, like, five of them, just scrape all the cream off with your teeth, put it in a little pile?
When I was a kid, I did,
yes. That's what I mean, obviously.
Not as an adult. I handle it one at a time now. Regular stuff is fine. I don't have to have the double. I see the mega stuff.
I don't
now,
like
which
double
is like
stuff.
An,
it's too much.
It's an inch of the creamy filling.
When
the
double
middle.
Stuff first came out, it was you know, Oreo has the blue Nabisco thing. The double stuff had a pink one.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Yeah,
I think others might do. It's just, you know, to each his own.
There are other flavors. Some are good. I like the vanilla one. They're the yellow cookie, not the dark. Those are good.
But
I don't get too crazy with all the other. They got like 80 flavors now. I can't say I've tried most of them.
All right, here it is. So as of 2018, the version sold in the U.S. is made by Nabisco. Mm-hmm. Oreos are available in over 100 countries.
It's huge.
But let's see. The Oreo biscuit. Trying to think where this was.
All right, he's looking at Rick. Do you like the Oreo cookie? Are you a fan? How do you eat it?
Yeah, I'm shocked you guys aren't dunkers, man. Dunking.
Not a dunker.
And, you know, Craig,
what do you do with the leftover milk?
You just dump it out.
That's a waste.
Well, you know. What do you do with a banana peel?
Wait, nobody eats a banana peel.
Well,
it's
mean,
good
you
for
know.
Recycling.
I will tell you this. The best orange juice I ever had included the skin, the thing you peel off on an orange. I was at a rest stop in Italy, and they had these fresh orange juice makers that just grind. You just throw the oranges in there whole. And, yep. just, and oh, it was delightful. Mm. I didn't know you could drink that or eat whatever. But no, banana peel, no, that's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, there's nothing wrong with drinking the milk after. I mean, it's cookie, it's Oreo-flavored milk, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, here's my problem, because I'm very adamant about this. I'll fight anybody on this. I don't like pulp in my juice, so I certainly don't like cookie crumbs in my milk. I don't like to eat my drink. I like to drink it. So I like it smooth. So if it's got a bunch of debris floating around, it's probably going to make me gag.
Yeah,
me too.
And I'm like that with, I don't like, and you know, if you have like back in the day, whatever cereal you have, particularly sweet, you know, if you had like Apple Jacks or Fruit Loops or whatever, I don't drink the milk afterwards. Like my sister would take the bowl and drink the rest of the milk.
I'll finish my milk in a cereal.
Which I've just
contradicted everything
I was going to say. So you'll drink the cereal milk, but not the cookie milk.
Yeah. I do. I don't like to waste like meal food. I just don't
got,
like to waste.
But you got to dunk Oreo.
Well, but no, but I'm not wasting. So you don't. I'm not wasting milk not with Oreos because I don't do it. Yeah. But yeah, cereal. I'll finish up the bowl. Here, a guy just texted in. Swishabank again. True story. He says his youngest son was 3. He ate all the cream out of every Oreo in the bag and put them back in the pack, the cookie part back in the package. So as he sits down one night with a huge glass of milk to enjoy a great snack after a long day at work, the gut-wrenching disappointment he felt that was just Oreos with no cream left jammed in there. Probably your kids spit all over it and everything.
The origin of the name Oreo is unknown, but there are many hypotheses, including derivations from the French word or, meaning gold, or from an ancient Greek root meaning a mountain. Others believe the cookie was named Oreo simply because the name was short and easy to pronounce. Another theory proposed by writer Stella Parks is that the name derives from the Latin Oreo Daphne, a genus of the laurel family. She observes that the original design of the Oreo includes a laurel wreath, which it does, and the names of several Nabisco cookies at the time of the original Oreo had botanical derivations, including Avena, Lotus, and Heliconia.
Sounds like it's healthy for you is what it sounds like. So the derivative of gold. It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
Gold.
Oh, by the way, Rick, yesterday, heated conversation on the show between Seinfeld and The Office. Chris is a young whippersnapper who prefers The Office to Seinfeld.
Yeah, we've had that debate before.
Yeah.
Well, it's not about that.
It got heated yesterday because we got into the derivative argument about which show had more catchphrases.
Yeah, like, iconic phrases.
Like
no soup for you.
Yeah, Seinfeld's got like
Serenity
a thousand
now.
Of them.
There's a gazillion of
yada,
them.
Yada,
and
yada.
The Office has one. That's what she said.
Yeah. But he disagreed.
Well, you know, having had this debate before, and I'm really on the fence with this because I love both of those shows. I've seen every episode a dozen times of both shows. But in the catchphrase department, no doubt Seinfeld wins that one hands
down. Thank you.
Yeah,
voice
no
of reason.
Absolutely.
Voice of reason.
Just real quick on the Oreo ingredients, in case you don't know. Sugar.
Do I want to know?
Sugar, unbleached enriched flour.
That doesn't sound healthy.
Wheat flour, nice and iron.
Got iron in there. That's healthy.
Yeah. Folic acid, vitamin B. High canola oil, palm oil, cocoa. High fructose corn syrup.
Oh, there's the death.
Leavening
right
agent,
there.
Baking soda or monocalcium phosphate, cornstarch, salt, soy, lecithin, vanillin, and chocolate.
Sounds like some healthy stuff in there.
1 6-pack of Oreos is 270 calories.
What? Say 45, that again?
45 calories in a cookie. Six-pack of Oreos is 270 calories.
45 calories for one?
Of these 45 calories, 27 come from carbs, 16.5 from fat, 1.5 calories are provided by protein.
Huh.
Yep. Different Oreo flavors have varying amounts of carbohydrate. The chocolate fudge Oreo contains 13 grams of total carbs and 9 grams of sugar per serving of 3 cookies. Yikes.
The chocolate ones are good. I failed to mention those earlier.
Mm.
Oh, delightful.
Anyway, while mint Oreos contain 25 grams of total carbs and 18 grams of sugars per serving.
See, now, Oreo changed its recipe a few years back because it was so high in trans fats. It was almost the same as a movie theater butter for popcorn that we were talking about the other day. Yeah, it was really on. So they kind of cut that back over the past few years. Can't say for sure whether the cookie's the same, if it's just as good, but nonetheless. Yeah. Well, now I kind of want an Oreo or a sleeve.
Yeah.
Like a sleeve of them right now.
Just some in the vending machine. Not that it's working, but...
Is it not working?
Well, I mean, last I saw, there was a note on it claiming it wasn't working.
But right, right.
I do know at various times they've had little packets of like six Oreos
yeah.
in the vending machine.
Oh. That thing got down to the bare... It got down to nothing. And, well, you know, coronavirus.
I'm aware, Craig.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's...
ESPN just announced it released the schedule, NBA schedule at 7 o'clock tonight.
The NBA schedule? Oh, the whole. Oh, they're doing it tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's discuss that for a moment. We have all NBA players have had to be tested by now. Out of 302 players that are coming back to play, 16 have tested positive for the coronavirus, and they are immediately quarantined. That's 5%. They're doing better than the rest of the country so far. We also learned some things about the bubble. First of all, there will be no law enforcement inside the bubble. I don't know if this is a selling point to the players or not. Can they walk down downtown Disney smoking weed and not get arrested?
No law enforcement inside the bubble.
Yeah, they're all on the outside perimeter.
Meanwhile, they say they're watching everything you do, though, to make sure
there are cameras.
You practice social distancing.
In fact, they're having like a hub that's going to do all your connect the dots, who you've been with, and all that kind of stuff. Not a lot of privacy. Also, this is a story I meant to get to a couple of days ago. Did you see what Disney's supposed to open? What, July 17th or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Disney workers don't want to open.
Oh, I know.
They think it's too soon.
The
and
cast.
I'm just kind of curious if the cast and other workers don't, if they want to push it back, does this at all affect the NBA's plans?
Good. How are they going to get all those meals? Everybody has their own private chef, every single team.
Yeah.
Every player has access to golf, fishing, and other recreational activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. How will they survive?
I don't know. Could be some tough sled in there, but that's the latest with the NBA.
How about this in Indy 500 news? You're going to love this one, Craig.
Oh, yeah?
So although the Indianapolis Motor Speedway announced today mm-hmm. that it plans to cap total attendance for the August 23rd Indy 500 at 50% of the venue's capacity,
uh-huh.
Penske Entertainment President and CEO Mark Miles said the track does not plan to lift the blackout that prevents fans in the central Indiana market from watching the race live on NBC. How in the hell do you get away with that?
I don't know. I'm trying to
Miles revealed the least details and exclusive with the Indy Star on Friday. I think you should not contribute to fans expecting there to be a lifting of the blackout. Local fans should assume that it's delayed, that you can see it later in the day in this market. Local race fans have been able to watch the race live on TV only three times, I guess. 1949, 1950, and 2016. 4 years ago, the blackout was lifted Wednesday of the race week, just 4 days before the green flag was supposed to fly. That's when IMS President Doug Bowles announced the entire track at capacity. Because IMS had to turn fans away, the race was allowed to be shown locally on ABC. I didn't know the Indy 500 was blacked out in anywhere.
Yeah, my brother who goes every year, and I went every year as a kid. He continues to go every year. And up until a few years ago, he still lived in Indianapolis. And yeah, what he would do, he would go to the race, and I think they would come home because they would air it at 10 o'clock at night locally. I mean, it wasn't even on prime. It was late.
I mean, it's
they want people to go.
I know they want people to go, but, you know, 175,000 people?
300,000 people.
No, let's see. But the
now.
IMS has sold 175,000 tickets for this year's race, and they sent out a notice to fans Friday asking how many seats they want for this year's race. And Friday's announcement means that when combined maximum capacity for suites, grandstands, and infield tickets, as you said, roughly 350,000 mark from 4 years ago, IMS will cap its total attendance this year at about 50% of that, 175,000.
Now, there's some built-in wiggle room there because the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has never released actual attendance to any race.
Why?
Tax purposes.
Tax purposes?
They don't want the government to know. No, they've never released the amount.
But how can they get away with that? I mean,
they just don't release it. They're like Augusta National to do whatever the hell they want.
Well, wait, but there's got to be some paperwork filed for something. They may cheat a little bit on it, whatever, but you got to file something.
What
they're taking in money.
All we know this is that if the seats and the grandstands on both sides or all the way around are full, it's 300,000 right there. And then that does not include the infield.
I never knew the Indy 500 was blacked out in Indiana. I never would have believed that in a million years if you told me that.
Yeah.
See, and it's just central Indiana, so it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I imagine up in Gary, Indiana, you could watch the feed on ABC or NBC, whatever it is, wherever it's at this year. It used to be ABC for years. Yeah, but they never released the actual total. A little fudge. Fudge some numbers. 239-337 ESPN. Oh, we have Rick on the phone. Wants to talk about the Indy 500. Fun fact you just brought up. Rick in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you today?
Hey, Rick.
All right, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good show.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I am basically have only lived down here in Southwest Florida for the last 6 years, but I spent my entire life living in Greenfield, Indiana, which is about 20 miles east of Indianapolis.
I know exactly. That's where my first radio job was. Yes, I know exactly where that is.
WSMJ?
JNZ.
Oh, JNZ, okay. Yeah. Well, the thing about that blackout is that my whole life is when the Holmans owned it,
yeah.
And now the Penske owns it, apparently he's going to keep doing it. The reason why the 500 was always blacked out in a 50-mile radius was the track, IMS, would always claim that although there's a known number of seats at all times in the stands, they have an unlimited number of spots for the infield that they could, so technically they could never sell out.
Right. I was just kind of explaining that when you came onto the phone. You probably missed that. But, yeah, you're right. The infield is nobody really knows.
Did people people in central Indiana, I guess you're born and raised, that's going to be blacked out on the whole except for four times. But, I mean, isn't it – do you feel cheated, outraged at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We were always ticked. But, I mean, I have a lot of great memories with my dad and my mom and having cookouts and – and, of course, everybody listened to it on the radio. And then when I got older and got my license, well, I'd drive to Muncie, which is 52 miles away from Indianapolis, or I'd go to Cincinnati a lot of times and just watch it in a bar down there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for locals, it was always a very sore spot every May. Up until, like you mentioned, the last couple years, there's been some special exemptions. Like, I think the 100th running, they lifted that blackout, and so you could watch it there. And of course, it was always after I moved down here, so I never had a problem watching it because I was down here in the last 6 years.
But,
yeah. So I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't catch the part where you, because a lot of people don't realize that is, since they allow infield general admission seating, they always would claim to the networks, well, technically we can never sell out because we can put another 100,000 people in the infield.
That's how I remember. Yeah. I grew up in Carmel, and I went every year to the race as a kid. So, all right. Well, welcome to Southwest Florida, my man. Thanks for calling, Rick. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate that. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. All right, so if they're not going to lift their blackout, is the NBA and Major League Baseball going to lift? Are they going to give free?
I would think. I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, locally down here, you're going to get the Miami Heat locally.
It's different because the NBA is not allowing fans. The Indy 500 is going to allow half capacity. Yeah. So there's going to be 6 figures worth of people over there if they choose to go. Maybe that's the difference.
If Major League Baseball is smart, they will make every single game available. And I know people, I think, that have texted in about DirecTV. They've already said that they're going to do it there. They should make it available to every single – if they're smart. If they don't – which they're not. So if they don't want to market correctly, then don't. Because no one's buying any baseball
pack.
Nobody.
It would be a nice gesture. But, I mean – maybe the suits up there at the networks think, well, we got to recoup some money, so we got to charge for it. So I'm skeptical that they'll give it away for free, but that would be nice if they did. All right, we are just warming up here on a Friday. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the phone number. Well, we'll talk some NFL when we get back. Mike Tannenbaum, an interesting comment about Baker Mayfield.
Twice
among
this
other
week
things.
We mentioned Tannenbaum.
He's on fire,
Tannenbaum,
man.
He's like a
5 o'clock hot take all of a sudden. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. On a Friday, Rick Church spinning the stacks of wax today.
With a rebel, yeah!
Great song, Billy Idol.
Great song. Great song. Before we got into Oreo Gate earlier and our talk of the Indy 500, I was remiss. I failed to mention that coming up in 1 hour, a friend of the program, Jenna Lane from ESPN, will be on to talk about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, he's working. He's working very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to all that. You know, we haven't, I don't think we've talked to her since they signed Gronk. Maybe we did. I know we had her on.
Yeah, it was like, she was
right after the draft, but I don't know if it was.
She's in very high demand, obviously, and she's covering now because of, you know, what is considered to be one of the, at least for this year and maybe next year, one of the premier franchises. There's going to be a lot of media attention, so. And shout out to my friend Dana. Thanks for giving me the Tom Brady 12 Tampa Bay koozie.
Yeah.
Dropped it off at my house last night.
Is that color scheme? Are you used to it yet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know,
I'm
so over that stuff, you know, from looks a little weird at first, but the uniforms look great.
I was glad to see my boy Matthew Stafford is out there also thumbing his nose.
They're all going to be out there. They're all going to be out there doing it.
Working and out?
Mike Florio, who admittedly has not left his home or has not had anybody come to his home. Man, you got to get over it. Every show he's doing now, I used to really enjoy it. Now, this morning I could only take about 5 or 10 minutes, and I flip back and forth to that and the Golic and Wingo and everything else. But that was just get over it, man. Just get over it. These guys are going to be out there, everybody, eventually. They're going to get out there. They're going to be doing this around the entire league, and we're getting word, too, now that the NFL is going to cancel 2 preseason games for every single team as well, which is not totally unexpected.
Which is what we predicted like 3 weeks ago. It's just the way it's going. All right, let's go back to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Scott in Fort Myers wants to talk to Tom Brady. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Great.
What's
on your mind?
I'm doing all right. Just they just shut all the bars down on Friday for the state of Florida. That's not good.
Well, no, they shut down only the ones that don't serve food. I mean, 99% of the places I attend, you know, they serve food. So it's only the bars and the microbrews that are shut down. So any place that
you can still get a beer with your burger.
Yeah, you can still
just at the table.
You may not be able to sit at the bar again, but you still can go and get cocktails and food.
Hope this gets over soon. But the reason I was calling is, like, you know, they got, not you guys, but earlier on Get Up, they were talking about Tom Brady practicing and how, I forget it, who was the commentator was saying, oh, he's putting all these people at risk and da-da-da. God, I'm like, leave him alone. Are you kidding me? He's just practicing.
Well, he's doing it. Russell Wilson's doing it. Stafford's doing it. They're all going to be doing it. The Buccaneers, though, are doing it with a lot more other guys. I mean, their top guys are offensive linemen. Even some defensive players are involved in this. Look, I mean, you're not going to stop it unless the league officially says, no, you cannot do this. They recommend you don't do it. And any NFL player is going to tell you, we need to be out there. We need to be working out. We're going to lose 2 preseason games. And they're not going to be caught flat-footed in September. They're not going to be caught flat-footed in September with no workouts. That's sorry. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, nation. That's the way it's going to be.
I know. Lastly, I'm with you 100%. But lastly, I mean, you know, I'm not I'm all for, you know, social justice and all this stuff. I totally think it's good. But the way that not every media outlet reported this news thing, it was like, it wasn't even a hate crime, and it was sort of like, I don't know, I felt like, you know, the media just jumped the ball and pointed fingers and da da da, and then it wasn't even a hate crime. I mean, it's like,
because that's what the media does, whether it's COVID-19 or whether it's a racial story, they fan the flames, man. This is what they do. This is what they do.
Yeah, I guess. Yep. Love your show, guys.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Scott, appreciate the call. Tom Brady out there working out. And again, these guys have to do this. I can't criticize them for that. I know that Brady had his Instagram photo where he says, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it's a little over the top, that kind of nonsense, and I wouldn't put it past. But like Married 1 year said, I would think the Bucs skill players already know how to run slant routes and screens. Yeah, it's called timing, though, Married 1 year.
Timing's big.
Timing is huge in the NFL, and that's why they're all going to be doing it.
Like you said, so we've got Stafford, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson's doing it, Sam yeah. Darnold's doing it. Both the Allens are, Josh and Kyle Allen.
Yeah,
the
49ers doing it too, I believe. So, I mean, just...
You got to get the work in. You're taking the OTAs away. Now, I don't know. It's tough here in Florida. I frequently will say I don't have the right answer. But, I mean, we've had 20,000 positive tests in the last 3 days.
Single day high of 8,942 new coronavirus cases.
Yeah. I get it.
Yep.
I mean, 20,000 in 3 days, that's a lot.
Stepbrother says that's the way it's going to be until the country shuts down.
But we're not doing that again.
We're not going that way again. I'm sorry. It's not. I know. I get it. People are frustrated. Everybody has all the right answers. No, all of us really don't know anything. But I can tell you that the country is not going to shut down again. It can't. It's not going to happen.
And if it does, we're going to have 95% of us are going to be unemployed. I mean, that's what it's going to be. So
get used to it. You're going to have spikes in this thing. You're going to have some peaks and valleys for a while. That's the way it's going to be. There's no, you're not going to snap your fingers and have it go away. It's not going away anytime soon. You're going to have to sit there and live with it. And you're going to have to live your life at some point. Get out there. Yeah, wear masks in public. Do what you have to do. Practice social distancing. But life is going to go on here. Sports is going to happen. Everybody freaking get used to it. It's happening. It's going to happen.
Now, I do have one
question.
Whether
you like it or not, it's going to happen.
I do have one question. So we think we're going to lose 2 preseason games for the NFL.
Yeah.
But they are also still adamant that we are going to start training camp on time. I think they released that again today. That is still the plan.
Yep.
So I just wonder if that was going to be adjusted or not. Probably not. I think they'll stick with that. The teams will be glad to have the extra practice time since they didn't have OTAs.
And you got to wonder, somebody brought up this theory too, and I can't remember, but we might have even discussed it. Do you think the NFL, maybe not just the NFL, but all these sports want to get this out of the way? That's why the NFL is not saying absolutely get off the field until we start training camp per se. Because the people that, and there will be people that come down with it, I'm sure, before camp. We know that, but they want it out of the way, allegedly, until training camp starts. And again, no guarantee that you can't get it again. We don't know that. We don't know that you can't get it again after, even if you're quarantined for 2 weeks and all is good. We don't know that you can't contact it again.
No, we don't. But I think the teams will have a sigh of relief when they can get the teams together because they can really control. I know the NFL's not doing a bubble, but you've been to training camps before.
Yep.
They're not. That's kind of a bubble. I mean, sort of. And I think they would, you know, like the NBA sure. just did its testing, and 5% of them are positive right now. They want to get that out of the way. They want to figure out what they have, what they're dealing with, how to deal with it, get those guys at quarantine, and then get everybody else into the bubble.
By the way, the governor is in Fort Myers as we speak, holding a press conference. We'll let you know.
Have we got a bulletin that he has another urgent
announcement? Well, I'm sure it's about this.
He kind of already made it.
Well, that's what it is. I'm sure he's discussing it. Right now, if anything happens, and more than
I say
that,
it tongue in cheek, because every day I get a bulletin on my phone that says urgent announcement by Governor DeSantis, like 9 days in a row.
Stepbrother says sports are not essential. You read Malcolm Jenkins. You really think they're going to allow one sweaty guy tackling another? No, I think they're going to allow 22 guys that are sweaty tackling each other. Yes, I do.
Yeah,
it's going to happen. It's happening. The season might be short. I don't, but sports is going to happen.
Yes. I saw that Drew Brees and his wife, Brittany, are sponsoring the Black College Football Hall of Fame event later on this month, July 15th. I think it's a virtual event, although I think Charles Davis of CBS and also Steve Weiss, they were going to host it. There's going to be like 90 Black Hall of Fame college football players on mm-hmm. it. And Brees is like footing the bill for how the sponsorship and the whole thing. Again, this is all part of him trying to do better. And be better, and be one of the allies in the social injustice movement.
Yeah, and also going to give a shout-out to Cameron Wolf, covering the Dolphins for ESPN, friend of the program. Had a story today about Stephen Ross committing $13 million over the Dolphins, $13 million over the next 4 years to RISE, which is his nonprofit aimed at combat systemic racism. It raises his total commitment to $30 million since 2015.
Yep.
And Ross said, now more than ever, our mission and the need for this work is clear. And that's great.
Very good. Oh, I forgot to mention the thing I was going to mention in this segment. So, Mike Tannenbaum, who's been on the show before, former GM of the Dolphins, mm-hmm. He was talking about Baker Mayfield this morning on one of the ESPNs. I don't know if it's Golic and Wingo or Get Up. I think it was Get Up. And he says that Baker Mayfield will be on a short leash, a very, very short leash. Of course, we know Baker Mayfield had 21 interceptions last year, right behind Jameis Winston. And he goes, I know Kevin Stefanski, he's not going to put up with it. If Baker Mayfield starts throwing interceptions and on that pace again, he'll be standing on the sideline right next to him.
That would be incorrect.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess. I mean, Case Keenum is, I guess, a capable backup, but I don't. You'd have to be. They'd have to be really desperate. And Mike, with all due respect, I think you're nuts.
Yeah, Baker is the guy, for better or for worse. And look, maybe if he's got like a four interception game, maybe he pulls them for what? But it's going to be early. There's not going to be a really, really, really short leash. You're not going to do that to Baker Mayfield in September. You're not.
It's not a quarterback comp, despite what Case Keenum got paid a few years ago, which I still can't believe it. But
right place at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he is not overtaking Baker Mayfield except by injury. It's. I mean, he would have to totally crap out Baker. I mean,
right. We are in agreement there.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. All right. One other football note. I see Ezekiel Elliott is in a little bit of trouble. He was in the news just yesterday talking about COVID. Apparently, his Rottweiler and his two Bulldogs attacked the pool lady who was coming in to take care of the ball. Dragged her around. She had to have surgery.
Ooh.
Now she's suing him somewhere between $200,000 and $1 million. But Ezekiel Elliott's attorney says, we will fight this vigorously. Look, if you're having the pool lady over, bring the dogs inside.
Mm-hmm.
How tough is it?
Yep. Jane Astero on the Stony Brook text line says, do you guys think college football will go on business as usual? I think the NFL going on as business as usual is a big help to college football. Don't you agree? I mean, it's going to be interesting. We had other schools, Division II and Division III schools, cancel their football seasons today. And, you know, is it going to shock me, Craig, if a Division I school, I don't care if Power 5 or not, I can't see a Power 5 school doing it, but a non-Power 5 school, is it possible that they're going to really err on the side of caution and cancel football? I can't see it happening, but it is happening at other levels in college football.
I can see it being tweaked. I can see certain road trips being canceled.
Yes.
Something.
I can see the schedule being shortened. That's for damn sure. I don't see right now. I don't see 12 games, but I don't know. I don't see it. But college football is going. As far as the way it looks, it is going to happen.
Now, I'm saying this on a day where we have almost 10,000 positive tests in the state of Florida and 6,000 in Texas. So, you know, I don't know.
No, nobody knows
for sure.
But I still
think it's...
But because the NFL is headed that way, still talking about even today, we are starting on time. That's good news for college football. We talked about this the other day.
Yeah. Now, so the NFL has just, on the verge of canceling 2 weeks of preseason and, of course, the Hall of Fame game. You know, we get down this road a little further, and there's still some question mark. Look, if the NFL starts canceling stuff or they don't start till October, yes, that will affect college football. That'll give college football some leadership on what kind of decisions to make, I think.
And 239 brings up a point that I've been bringing up, too. Tell all the equipment managers, stadium vendors, field workers, and maintenance workers that the NFL – that the NFL helps keep employed, that professional sports aren't essential. There are more lower-income level workers that depend on professional sports to make a living than professional athletes. And that's what I've said that all along. I've said it's not just about football players and greedy owners or in all sports. It is about the businesses surrounding all of these that people, you know, it's their life. For a season, they have to make a certain amount of money because of these professional teams. Otherwise, they're done. It affects a lot more of the quote-unquote little people than it does the athletes.
Speaking
or as much.
Of the NFL, we'll hear from Roger Goodell. We've got Sound Street next. Don't forget, you just have a precious few days left to sign up and try and win a brand-new generator for the rest of hurricane season. Go to our website at 993ESPN.com. Get registered for that, and you could be the lucky winner. Scheman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN and the 993 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Scheman and Shepherd.
All right, let's start it off with Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League, on a conference call yesterday, updating everyone on the preparations for the 2020 season. Remember, we've canceled the Hall of Fame game. It looks like we're going to shut down the first two preseason games, although that's not been made official yet. Here is Roger Goodell.
We also had a very lengthy discussion on our preparation for the 2020 season and our ongoing work as we prepare to open training camps on time to get ready for games at our stadiums and then to engage our fans both in stadiums as well as through our media partners. We've discussed all these topics with the Players Association on numerous occasions as recently as just the last couple of days. We're both focused on ensuring the players as well as coaches and other essentials to the game will have the safest possible environment this season. Obviously, that includes our fans also. Those conversations have been very productive, and obviously there's a lot more for us to do.
Roger Goodell. Hmm. All right, here's Malcolm Jenkins from the Saints. He says the NFL is not essential right now.
I think until we get to the point where we have protocols in place and until we get to a place as a country where we feel safe doing it, we have to understand that football is a non-essential business. And so we don't need to do it. And so the risk, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back.
Okay. I don't know if everybody agrees with him or not. Here's Dan Orlovsky, by the way, on Golic and Wingo. He says he disagrees with Malcolm Jenkins. Yep. He says football is essential to most football players.
A great majority of the NFL guys live paycheck to paycheck. They are not just taking care of their family. They're taking care of their families, plural, family members. And so it's essential because those guys that are at the third year of their career, this might be the last year that they can make that $500,000 or $600,000. They need this season. And that's why those guys are going to sit there and go, wait, this is the only opportunity I have to make that money. Tell me where and when. Tell me what I have to do. I'll quarantine myself for 150 days or 180 days away from my family because that's the only way I'll make my money. My wife is going to agree with that as well. And so, if you're a guy who's in your fourth year and it's a contract year for you and you have to go perform to receive that second contract, you're going to be like, when and where?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other talk going on around the NFL, Jamal Adams, of course, we've discussed this, is demanding a trade from the Jets. Greg Williams, defensive coordinator for the Jets, says he's got Adams back.
Thing is, for me, especially my personality as a coach, is you never, ever mess with a guy's contract. Let them get it taken care of. Have their back. I've got his back on those type of things. He's got to get all that stuff settled. So now, boom, get back into our setting, and now we're ready to roll. And he knows that.
A little support from his defensive coordinator. James Franklin, head coach at Penn State, made some news 2 days ago. He said he had a very tearful gathering with his family. They live in Florida, by the way. And he says that he's going to leave the family behind. I can't remember. I'm getting my story. I can't remember if he had a child that might be at risk also. Anyway, going to leave the family behind. He's going to go to Penn State. He says you can't eliminate all the risks. This was on Golic and Wingo.
We got to do everything we possibly can do to keep everybody as safe as we can. And then with that, people have choices to make. Our players have choices to make. The staff has choices to make. Local government's got choices to make. Fans have choices to make. And the reality is we can't reduce all risk. That's just a reality. And that's always the case. You're going to take on some risk. But the thing that you have to do is you have to be educated and you have to be informed. And I'm a big believer in science. And I'm a big believer in listening to experts. And then make the best choices we possibly can make.
All right. This is James Franklin. Yesterday, we talked about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Mike Leach at Mississippi State. They joined the state assembly, and they want to get that Confederate flag that's in the corner portion of the Mississippi State flag removed. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, very proud of those two coaches on Golic and Wingo.
I give a great deal of credit to the leaders of the universities and colleges in the state of Mississippi who showed up to make a clear statement about the need for change. And Nikki McCray, who's the new women's basketball coach at Mississippi State, and Kermit Davis, the men's basketball coach at Ole Miss, I think were both eloquent in having the opportunity to share thoughts on behalf of themselves and their colleagues of the need for change and to remove the symbol and create what is a more welcoming environment in the state that in many ways has been welcoming and just has had that symbol lingering for decades and decades.
All right. No doubt. Yesterday we discussed Vince Carter, said he's officially going to hang it up after 22 seasons in the NBA. He was on the podcast The Ringer, and he said even before the NBA announced the playoff format, he had already decided that he was calling it a day.
I guess you could say an announcement. I guess it's, I mean, it is official as far as like the Hawks not, you know, being in into the 22-team playoff. So it made, it wasn't like a shocking blow. It wasn't like a painful blow, you know, hearing it or reading it, talking about it, because I kind of was already there. So, you know, I think for other people who had high hopes of, hey, maybe, and I know at one point in the beginning, they talked about all 30 teams. So I was like, okay, this will be a bonus and a pleasant surprise for me. But, you know, it didn't happen. So I was just like, okay, you know, it is what it is.
Here he is also saying that he came into the league on a shortened season back then 22 years ago, and now he's leaving in a shortened season.
It's awkward. I mean, but it's kind of a cool situation for me because I came into the league on a shortened season, and I walk away from the league on a shortened season. So, I mean, for me, it's just kind of a unique situation.
Vinsanity is over. Coming up in about a half hour, we are going to talk with Jenna Lane. She is the Bucks reporter for ESPN, friend of the program. We'll get her thoughts on the Bucks working out here in the offseason, what's coming right around the corner with training camp, and all that more coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.